welcome to X's and Omar, presented by Gulfstream Park. Alongside Sun Sentinel Dolphins columnist Omar Kelly, I'm CBS 12 Sports Director Matt Lincoln, and we are live right now out here at Gulfstream Park for another gorgeous day. The horses are out racing again.
I just heard the, what is that? The
we always forget
bugle?
The horn. It's not a bugle.
It's a horn.
What is it? It's called something. They're trumpets, but what it's called something when the horses are coming out to race. We should probably know that because we're going live out here at this fantastic facility that's much more than just horses. It's a great time this year. Kids start to have some time off. You can come out, go to Strike 10, the great bowling area right here to our left, your right. Also the karaoke place right above us. So many great things to do here at Gulfstream Park, in addition, of course, to watching X's and Omar live. And it is Patriots Week Take 2, but more importantly, it is Streak Buster Week, as the Dolphins finally end their long losing streak and get a win over the Broncos. Lots of mixed feelings, though, for Dolphins fans this week, as they were wondering that maybe this was a better time. Instead, we shouldn't be celebrating victories. We should be sucking for the next luck, or we should be tanking to try to get the best draft pick. What do you think about that?
I always have a problem with that from this standpoint. Victories are hard enough to get in any sport. You spend all week building up to try to get it. Why would you not put forth all the effort that you can? Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't be playing young players or investing in young players, but the goal, to quote Herm Edwards, who is now the head coach of Arizona State University, you play to win the game. And that's really what Dolphin fans should be focused on. Most people who are in this suck for luck mold, and I, you know, it's funny that we call it suck for luck because
there's no luck around.
Yeah.
And they have a quarterback.
Yeah, the Colts are sucking for luck right now.
They're sucking with luck, kind of.
Nah, he's not there.
He's on the roster.
He's not there. But there's no real can't miss prospect. There is no Ndamukong Suh in this draft. There is nobody that you say, oh man, I got to go up there and get him. And truth be told, if you look at, just look at the possible MVP of this draft, which is Carson Wentz.
Sure. Of the draft from 2 years ago.
Of the draft from 2 years ago. If you want him, you can get him.
Yeah.
It might cost you a little bit, but you can get him. And it makes no sense to me why people have this mentality, oh, if we lose and get a higher draft pick, we'll have a better quality team. Draft picks comes down to your talent evaluation. I would say Alvin Kamara, a third-round pick for the New Orleans Saints. Kansas City, their running back, you know, because you play fantasy football. Kareem Hunt. See, there you go.
Sure.
Were they drafted in the first round?
No, they were not.
They are probably the front runners for Rookie of the Year, are they not?
They would, if Leonard Fournette was healthy the whole year, he probably would be right up there with them.
True, and obviously Deshaun Watson as well.
Sure.
But talent is, you can find talent throughout the entire draft. There are draft classes where probably Rashad Jones might be the most talented, promising player that the Dolphins have drafted this decade, and he was a fifth-round pick.
Sure. Yeah, I think the one guy that a lot of Dolphin fans would be looking at would be Saquon Barkley, the running back out of Penn State. Do you like that young man as a possible franchise-changing type of running back?
I've seen him once. I don't really do my college evaluations until December, and then I'll get into the bowls, and then in January when everybody's working, I'm at home watching five college football games a year. So I'll eventually get into him. But right now, Kenny Drake just gave you 120 yards.
Sure.
Who knows? If he gives you 120 yards against the Patriots, might change your whole dynamic of what you need. You know, to me, it all starts and begins with the offensive line. So, as it always will.
Okay, so let's talk about this Broncos game. It's the first game all season that the offense, the defense, and the special teams played well all together. It was the first game all season that the Dolphins had an early double-digit lead and were able to pin the ears back on the defensive ends to rush the quarterback. It really was the first game all season that we saw at least a Dolphins defense that we thought we were going to see, and then an offense that took advantage of big plays. So is it frustrating that this is the first time we're finally seeing it, or is it what everyone wants to say, it's against the Broncos?
I dismiss when everybody says, oh, it was against the Broncos. Who did Vegas odds makers, who are pretty good at what they do, decide that should be the favorite for that game.
The Denver Broncos.
Even though they were on the road.
The Denver
so
Broncos.
The Vegas odd makers, who are pretty good at what they do, said, these are two comparable teams. Mm-hmm. Let's give the edge to the team with the better defense. They didn't factor in that Trevor Siemian would be probably the worst quarterback that I've seen.
It was bad.
And the Dolphins had a great game plan. They jumped his routes. You know, clearly his arm is falling apart and he can't throw a 15-yard out. And they took advantage of that. But you're not always going to be afforded those opportunities. And I think that this team, yes, has this been a disappointing year? Absolutely. Have I expected far more from this Dolphins organization? Without a doubt. But they've had to endure all kind of issues, all kinds of circumstances, all kinds of drama, all kinds of injuries, and it's led to this dog pile of poop. Now, can they play better?
Sure.
Should they play better? Absolutely. Did I expect to see what I saw against Denver? No, not really. Because I thought this team had really was beginning to bottom out, but they've always talked about we need to put one good game together to show us what we can be, and they finally did.
Well, I thought the most poignant post-game comment that I heard was from Cam Wake, who was asked about, is this frustrating? Are you wondering where this is? And Cam said, it's a lot more frustrating than when we're consistently bad at something. And he didn't say last year, but he alluded to the point that he basically said, you know, when you can't stop the run, at least we know we can't stop the run and we can game plan around it. We can do other things knowing that we can't stop the run.
I got that.
But
too.
When there are times when we look so good and times that we look so bad, it's very frustrating because we don't know what's going to come out each day.
I've said from the beginning, and I still believe this, I don't know if I believe this at this point because, you know, the quarterback play is just, but the talent on this team is better than the talent that went to the playoffs last year. Luck and circumstances played a huge part into it. Yes, we don't want to think this as a team, people associated with a team that loves the team. But Dolphins got lucky last year. Lucky a lot.
Yeah.
All the karma that you've stockpiled for a decade, it all went your way last year when it was important, and you got hot at the time and you stayed hot. Right injuries.
Sure.
That props to them.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that it's over to next year. We said they had a better roster, didn't carry over. We said that they, second year in the offense, second year in the defense, didn't carry over. It just goes to remind each year team is different.
Mm-hmm.
Each year, this Patriots team is different than last year's Patriots team.
Oh, yeah.
Because the personnel, the people, the dynamics, the issues, the injuries, it's hard to have that kind of character. And didn't carry over for the Dolphins.
All right, let's take our first question. It comes from Vin. I know Sue is great, and we would have been worse without him, but our D-line hasn't been great anyway. Couldn't we use his cap saving on multiple areas of the defense?
Well, right now, with Ndamukong Suh, who is injured, by the way, and has been injured for the last month, I'm pretty sure he's going to go have his knee scoped. But Warriors play through these kind of issues, and Cam Wake is Ndamukong Suh is a Warrior. But with Ndamukong Suh, the Dolphins are allowing 4.3 yards per attempt. That's not good, but it's not bad.
Sure.
Without Ndamukong Suh, I could promise you it would be bad.
A lot worse.
It would be bad.
Right.
It would be last year-esque. I don't want to building this entire defense, because right now this defense is built around Ndamukong Suh. Yes, he takes on double teams. Yes, he frees up things for everybody else, but everybody else should be benefiting from it. If he's not there to take up double teams and not there to free up everybody else, who's the pressure going to go on? Cam Wake's going to look worse. Andre Branch is going to look worse. Right now, Davin Godchild, you know, he's been playing with an injury, but, you know, he's going to be facing a lot more pressure. The linebackers are going to be taking on more. To me, having Sue there for at least one more season at $17 million per year is worth it because of two reasons. One, he's a borderline Hall of Fame player. Mm-hmm. And I want, if he's going to be a Hall of Fame player, I want him to be in a Dolphins jersey. I want him to be in a Dolphins uniform. Now, that's going to take a lot more money, a lot more commitment, but I get it. Mm-hmm. While he's still a borderline Hall of Fame player, let's continue that investment. And the second thing is, I've seen a bad history throughout my tenure, my decade of covering the Dolphins, where you're cutting good players just to save a dollar. Mm-hmm. Not knowing where you're going to spend the dollar, not knowing how you're going to use, like the Dolphins cut Brent Grimes for a number of reasons.
Right.
He didn't want to be here. I get that. But they cut Brent Grimes to ultimately save a dollar. Then they paid more money to sign Byron Maxwell, to trade for Byron Maxwell. So they paid an inferior cornerback more money than the one who's still good. Does that make any sense to anybody?
Right. Yes.
And if you do this exact same thing, I can promise you, you'll get the exact same result with Sue. You're going to go save this $17 million by trying to purge Ndamukong Suh. You're not going to shake him down. If there's anything you need to know about Ndamukong Suh, he's a businessman first and an NFL player second. So as a businessman, you're going to try to shake him down, and he's going to say, either you pay me $17 million now, or you cut me and I go get a new deal with $40 million guaranteed. Let me see which one I'm going to pick.
Yeah. And he's an okay teammate, but he is a great soldier.
Yes.
And the brass likes him, people.
He's gotten better as a teammate.
Okay.
He's gotten better as a leader, but he was here. He's like here now.
Yeah.
Let's hope he improves. But here's the thing, I said this when they signed him, you signed a mercenary.
Sure.
It's a sellsword, if you watch Game of Thrones. He's going to fight for whoever's paying him the most money. And he's not going to be loyal to you. He's not going to be the great leader. He's not going to fight for the mother of dragons because of honor and pride. He's a sellsword. He is going to fight for pay.
All right. Well, let's take our next question from Will. Is it time to give up on DeVante Parker? I think I came to that realization as I was sitting through that game, watching that game on
Sunday. What brought you there? What take me through your thought process.
I'm just sick of watching DeVante Parker do nothing. And yes, he's hurt. Well, then I'm sick of him being hurt. We have been through 3 seasons of DeVante Parker and 4 seasons of Jarvis Landry, right?
Mm-hmm.
DeVante Parker, he may very well be more talented, maybe, than Jarvis Landry.
He is.
He might be bigger.
He is.
Than Jarvis Landry.
Mm-hmm.
But we have had 4 years of Jarvis Landry being a very good borderline great receiver. Very good borderline great receiver for 4 years.
Toughness.
We've had like 1 or 2 games of DeVante Parker being a borderline. Who should the Dolphins be giving the money to? The guy that we've seen be very good borderline great for 4 years, or the guy that we think can maybe, possibly, be great?
2 things that are variables there that I don't think the average person who doesn't get to interact with them or doesn't get to see them and be in rooms with them and deal with coaches. 2 things that make receivers good: toughness, intelligence. Okay. Those are 2 areas that I can tell you that Jarvis Landry does not lack.
Yeah.
He's got toughness, he's got intelligence.
No question.
DeVante Parker.
So, and back to the question.
Okay.
Are you ready to give up on him?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Because I can see the talent when healthy. Now, how many healthy games are you going to get from DeVante Parker each season? I'll be considerate and generous and say, at the max, 8.
Right.
Now, you better maximize the crap out of those 8 because there's going to be 8. And then you're going to play the other half of the season with him at 70%, which is what you're doing now. The talent is there. I have seen it. Is the drive, determination, dedication, toughness, ferocious mentality. Jarvis Landry's playing with a knee injury.
Yeah.
Do you notice it?
No, you don't. But they have to make this decision. I mean, obviously, they have to make a decision about Landry this offseason.
No. Yes. The decision, here's the thing. People always want to equate, we can't keep DeVante and Jarvis. Well, Devontae, you're just going to have to opt into his fifth-year option this offseason. Okay. Now, you don't have to pay him that. As we know with the Juwan James situation, it's not guaranteed.
Right.
It's fake money. Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, go ahead. Give me the fifth-year option.
Yeah.
And in case he blows up, we got him locked up. If he's okay, not worth the money, you just cut him.
Yeah.
So unless he gets hurt, which with Devontae could be a large possibility. You don't have to. Here's the thing. Bottom line on the Jarvis Landry decision, do you want to pay Jarvis $10 to $11 million a year, yes or no?
You asking me?
Yes.
Me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Well, Dolphins have, there's no guarantee he's going to accept the $10 to $11 million. I personally do not believe, and I can be wrong, and I have not talked to my contract advisors as of yet, because they laugh in my face all the time when I say, I think this player's worth this. And they go, ha, ha, ha. Yeah. Did that with Olivier Vernon. Yes, David Cannard, that's you. I don't think Jarvis is going to be able to get more than $12 million a year, primarily because he is a slot receiver. Mm-hmm. There aren't that many teams that need slot receivers. And truth be told, the market for slot receiver is $11 million. I have a hard time believing there's going to be a lot of teams lining up to pay Jarvis Landry that. Now, all it takes is one.
Right.
I was told that one was going to be the Buffalo Bills. Well, they went out and they
got Kelvin Benjamin.
They got Kelvin Benjamin. Okay. So I don't know how this is going to play out, but it is, you know, I agree with you. I would pay Jarvis Landry. He would be getting $30 million guaranteed money from me. I say, Jarvis, $30 million. You can figure out how you want it divided up, but I got $30 million for you. Now, if you feel like you can go out there and get it elsewhere in the market, okay.
All right. Let's hit this one quick from Adam G. What are the chances we get a real look at Leonte Carew before the season is over?
Probably zero. Somebody's going to have to get hurt. Devontae Parker, he's getting better. Is he going to be good? No. Devontae's out there playing it, I would estimate, 75%. And the true indictment is why you think that a 70% Devontae Parker is better than 100% Leonte Carew and Jakeem Grant. And if that's the case, and it damn sure is, you need to look at your depth and say, do we have good enough depth? Do we have quality players there? Do we need to go address that position? And my argument to you is yes. My vote is yes.
You're watching X's and Omar, presented by Gulfstream Park. We are live here in beautiful Hallandale Beach. It's another gorgeous day after our couple of early...
When is it not a gorgeous day? Actually, earlier in the season, we were dealing with a little rain.
But now that all the losses have come, it's been gorgeous weather. Go figure. You wrote a column after the game focusing on a lot of the younger players, specifically guys like Kenyon Drake, Xavien Howard, Laremy Tunsil, and you said the focus needs to be on these youngsters going forward. Talk about that call.
What are we doing here?
What are we doing here?
We're not going to have probably not going to have an 8-8 season. If things pan out well, there are what, 4 left to play?
Yeah.
You're at 5. Come on, you play the Patriots this week.
I mean, in reality, what is the difference between 8-8 and 7-9 anyway?
This season, this stretch of the season, these December games should be about identifying what you have. One of the things that I do respect about Joe Philbin is that he would acknowledge his mistakes after a while. And after his first season, one of the biggest things that he said he regretted was that, I wish I would have played some of my younger players. I was too busy and caught up in trying to win a game. And now here I am the next season, and I've got no assessment about who these players are or what they can do. And I believe Dallas Thomas is one of those young players. Maybe if you played him early in the year, he would have said, oh, no, I can't work with that. You got to know. Kenyon Drake, and I wrote this leading up into that Denver game, that entire game, all about Kenyon Drake.
Sure.
Because if you go into this offseason and you don't know what you have at running back, like, you've wasted all of December. Mm-hmm. Kenyon Drake, especially with Damian Williams sidelined, and I do believe he's going to continue to be sidelined and not play against the Patriots. If Kenyon Drake produces 100 yards for the next 3 weeks, what do we know? He's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
He's pretty intriguing.
Yeah.
Let's continue this investment. We might not need to go draft the Penn State running back in the first round. We could make do with Kenyon Drake. If he doesn't, then we know, damn, we might need to trade up and go get a running back, because if this guy's a difference maker, because we got nothing here. We need to know. Same thing with the cornerback position. I like what Tankersley has shown. Xavien Howard, I had high expectations for him. Probably, he was probably one of the top five players in my mind, which obviously fooled me. and it just hasn't panned out.
Sure.
The talent is there. The ability is there. Confidence probably got a little shaken, got a little bit wavered. And cornerbacks have to play with confidence. Can he reestablish that confidence? If not, you know, a cornerback who lost his confidence is not a very good cornerback. Mm-hmm. Laramie Tunsil, good gosh. It's been aight. Like, you know, this is a guy, and I would say he was not ever going to be the number one pick in the draft.
Right.
Whether he smoked out of a bong or not, he was never going to be the number one pick in the draft. That was somebody fooling you people. Talent-wise, the film, it didn't add up to the number one pick. But you are a top 15 selection. Play like a top 15 selection. You are supposed to be the bookend, the leader of this line, the guy who's going to protect the blind side of the quarterback. You face the best player every single week. In 3 years, you'll be shaking down this organization for a $6 million deal. Let's play like it.
Yeah.
And it just hasn't panned out. Hopefully he continues to progress.
All right, let's take our next question. It comes from Blake. What do you think is the top priority this offseason? The options he likes are offensive line, linebacker, and quarterback.
I think all of those are needs. I'm actually going to, I you know me,
mm-hmm.
It all begins and ends with a trench play.
Offensive line.
No, not just offensive line. Defensive line cannot be ignored too, as well. If you look at the good teams that do not have elite quarterbacks, let's throw the Pittsburgh Steelers, let's throw the New England Patriots, let's throw the New Orleans Saints, and they were mediocre for quite a while. They all have good trench play, good offensive lines, good defensive lines. I think the Dolphins definitely need to reinforce their offensive line. Probably going to have to shop for a new right tackle, unless Jesse Davis is going to be there, or unless you want to pay Juwan James $9.4 million. Definitely going to need a new guard, because Jermon Bushrod is, you pull the plug.
Mm-hmm.
I love you, Bush, but it's time to retire, bro. And defensive line, there are nice pieces there. But especially now that you're sitting here like, oh, man, when can we shake down Ndamukong Suh? Oh, there is no shaking down Ndamukong Suh. You're just going to have to live without him. You better get some reinforcements there. And then the ends, William Hayes is a free agent. I don't know.
Yeah.
So I'm starting with the trenches. Linebacker, I don't think is that much of an issue. Raekwon McMillan will be back next year. He's going to help you solidify it. Stephon Anthony has done a couple of decent things. And I like Lawrence Timmons. I know everybody's like, he went AWOL on us and makes us a little nervous. But I don't have a problem with his play this entire season. I have more of a problem with Kiko Alonso, who you gave a $27 million contract to. So, and quarterback, Ryan Tannehill is your starting quarterback for 2018 and probably 2019. Get comfortable with it.
We need to record that and just run it at the beginning of every X's and Omar so
get
it over.
He will be here. As Gaze is your head coach, Ryan Tannehill will be your quarterback. There is a man crush, a love fest that will not end. Matt Moore is going to be your backup, or he's not going to be your backup. Will Matt Moore re-sign for another $2.5 million deal? Probably.
Yeah.
If you want him back. So I don't think quarterback's that much of an issue. Maybe you need to get one to develop later, but right now it's not a priority.
Especially when there are so many other things that are priorities. Yeah.
Name me a position that isn't a priority. Quarterback is the only position I can name. Tight end's a priority. Cornerback's a priority. Safety's kind of a priority. Line priority, D-line priority, linebacker's priority. Like, what's not a priority? Running back's a priority, tight end's a priority, wide receiver, Jarvis Landry, is he staying? How, like, do you really think you can afford to use resources on the quarterback?
Parkey's been good.
Okay, yeah.
Next question from Yuri. Could any of the Dolphins' disappointing players have more success in a different position? Should we be moving some guys around?
Actually, I think that that's a wise idea and a good approach. I would love to see Jermon Bushrod come back and then Jesse Davis be allowed to play that right tackle position. Sam Young is a Band-Aid. We know Sam Young's Band-Aid. Love him. Eight-year veteran because he's hung around and been a good Band-Aid, but he's not gonna be a tourniquet. He's not going to stop the bleeding. Jesse Davis potentially could be your future left right tackle. I want to find out if he's my future right tackle. And if he is my future right tackle, Juwan James.
Right.
And if he's not my future right tackle, then I'm saying, okay, he's my future right guard.
Right.
So I need to play him at right tackle to see if the job is too big for him. And I'd love to see him do that. I'd actually love, to be completely honest with you, I want Isaac Asiata to play right guard, the position that he was drafted to play, the position that you've groomed him to play as Jermon Bushrod's understudy. Well, Jermon Bushrod went down. You never stuck in the young player. And
give us the insight on that. What has happened? Is he just not even close?
Not mature enough. They're just guys need to learn how to be pros. And he clearly has not learned how to be pro. They look at this as a redshirt year. And that means to me, while you have a need and you look at a guy who could help you as a redshirt year, you just don't trust him.
All right. Let's take one more. What about Charles Harris, the linebacker?
Ooh, that's a good one. I actually looked at him in the draft and I said, linebacker.
Right.
I did not say, defensive end. It just didn't add up for me. Have you seen dynamic pass rushing ability?
No.
Okay. Have you seen good edge setting?
No.
Run stopping ability?
No.
Okay.
What have you seen?
He can run and chase people.
Linebacker. Our next question from Solomon. Is Bobby McCain the best Dolphins cornerback?
If I had to evaluate based on what they've done this season, Cordrea Tankersley has probably been the top performer, even though he hasn't started every game. Just from this standpoint, he's reliable, he's consistent, he doesn't get beat quite often, and he plays a more important role. Bobby McCain, while it's important, the nickel is important, you know, how many nickels have the Dolphins had for the last decade? I believe it's like 5 or 6.
Right.
It's not that important of a nickel position. And I might change my opinion after I watch this Monday night game against the Patriots because I want to see the rematch between Danny Amendola and Bobby McCain. That's going to be interesting.
All right.
But, yeah, am I ready to say Bobby McCain's the best cornerback? Nah.
He's played well, though.
Yes.
He's played well.
He's grown up.
Yeah.
You invest 3 years in a young player and you hope that the cojones finally show up, and they have.
Next question comes from Zachary. Was Xavien Howard performance a sign of how he truly is capable of playing, or did he just outperform a very poor Broncos offense?
I'm going to have to go with he outperformed a very poor Broncos quarterback,
right,
who he jumped every route. And when you have a quarterback who doesn't have the arm to throw it and you're on the boundary, of course you're jumping the route. You're looking at, you're trusting your scouting report, and you're looking at the throws, and you're like, okay, can I get to him? And if I don't get to him, do I have help over the top? It was a great design. I think they played quite well in man. I think they need to play a little bit more man, but Xavien hasn't shown me what I believe he has the potential and capabilities of doing.
Yeah, but you were talking about it earlier in the show. It's sort of like the equivalent of a basketball scorer going 0-for-7 in the field. You tell him just, you know, go to the bucket, get some free throws, get, you know, feel what it's like to get some confidence back. This is possibly a kind of game that, yes, maybe it wasn't him playing great and it was scheme and it was lots of sorts.
He's had injuries,
but maybe
too,
it could give him the confidence going forward.
Absolutely. He's had injuries too. Maybe it prevented him from trusting his shoulder because he injured his shoulder and maybe he didn't feel like he could jam and press. And, you know, a lot of things go into why a player is slumping or why they're not playing up to expectations. But he's got a ton of talent. Hopefully it continues to come out.
You're watching X's and Omar, presented by Gulfstream Park. We are live here in beautiful Hallandale Beach. We'll be live here through the end of the season, Wednesdays at 1 o'clock, so you can come and you can join us like some of our live audience. You can, all right. There's plenty of places to sit, so come on down, get a bite to eat at one of the great places here at Gulfstream Park, and then come and watch us live. So it feels like the Dolphins just played the Patriots.
They did.
It was a 35-17 loss, a game that was kind of, sort of, maybe almost interesting in the third quarter, and then it wasn't anymore.
Patriots did what they do.
What lessons can be learned from that game?
I think, you know, one, I will say this. I expected more from New England. They usually help me identify what the Dolphins' weaknesses are. And I felt like New England basically called off the dogs because they knew, we're going to play them in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Let's save some of this for a little bit later. We don't need it all. I think that the Dolphins struggled very poorly, did a poor job in terms of covering the tight ends, eliminating the big plays, stopping the run. And yes, injuries played a huge factor in it, but I think that the Dolphins should do a lot more in terms of stopping the run, taking away the slot receiver, and certainly containing the tight ends, especially now that Gronkowski is suspended for one game.
Yeah, let's take our question from Rich here next. Which, with not much to lose, does Gase go ultra aggressive with his play calling against the Patriots, like more fakes and going forward on fourth down?
You know, I don't really see that being, even though he did do an onside kick, 33-9 against his buddy Vance Joseph, saying whatever he wants to say, that was personal. I really don't think that the Patriots are the right team to be aggressive with.
Right.
Like, are you trying to outsmart Bill Belichick? Like,
feels like you were playing in the Patriots' hands.
Yeah.
If you're doing things like going for it on fourth and one from your own 37.
Yeah, I'm not sure you're gonna outsmart Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
I mean, he's probably gonna be he's definitely gonna be in the Hall of Fame. Probably has a better resume than Don Shula, who's considered the greatest football coach of all time, not named Bear Bryant. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's gonna be, in the end of time, and I know Dolphin fans are gonna hate to hear this, Bear Bryant, Don Shula, who coached the Green Bay Packers?
Lombardi,
and then Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
Maybe Landry. I'll throw Landry in there.
Sure.
It's like he's one of the top five coaches of all time. I don't think outsmarting him is trying to outsmart him. Now, I will say the Wildcat did catch him by surprise. And I always said you need to go and play the New England Patriots with two game plans. Stick to one in the first half, and then completely change it up on the second. Because if Bill Belichick's looking at his iPad, and he's going like this, and he's like figuring it out and talking to assistants, and he's not like, just if he's just standing there watching the game like this, like he usually does when he plays Miami, you're toast.
Yeah.
If he's, and he's working, he's like trying to figure out what you're doing to him, you have a chance.
You have a chance.
If he's just like there with his hoodie looking all depressed and sad and sedated, like, you've got no chance.
Game over. Okay, let's talk about Gronk. Question from J2FWE. What are Miami's chances of locking down the Patriots' passing game with Gronk out?
Let's give the people a precursor. Gronk, for those who have not been paying attention, Gronk did a very disrespectful, nasty,
heinous
hit on a rookie cornerback, Buffalo rookie cornerback, Ladarius White, after he intercepted a pass. Ladarius held him, pulled him, whatever. He played football, which is what they do. Gronk shouldn't act like he doesn't push off half the time.
Right.
And Gronk was frustrated and burrowed into him with his shoulder and hurt the kid.
Yeah.
Purposely, intentionally hurt him. The fact that he got one game for that, he should be very thankful, because I can't recall. Yeah, a guy's gonna run into, like we seen with Juju, whatever.
Smith-Schuster.
A guy is gonna see you at a crackback and be like, yeah, this is my chance to get that, you know what. Yeah. And boom, and then he might even stand over you. Yeah. It's in the course of a football play.
Right.
Yeah, I just rung your bell. Like, that's kind of was the point of the game a decade ago before we discovered CTE.
Right.
Like, defenders wanted to break you. It was part of the game. What Rob Gronkowski did is not part of the game.
It's sure.
Malicious. If it was done in the real world, charges would have been levied against him. Like, it was wrong.
Okay. With all that being said, Patriots lost to Dolphins gain. Does this make this Patriots offense somewhat more attackable for this Dolphins defense?
It does slightly, but you still got to contain their tight ends. Dwayne, last I
Dwayne
checked.
Dwayne Allen's the only guy they got left.
Yeah, last I checked, Dwayne Allen was a starter for the Indianapolis Colts for 4 years and was a pretty good player. Talented seam threat. It has not panned out for the Patriots as they'd hoped when they traded for him. But, you know, hell, Patriots do that all the time. They, you know, they've had borderline Pro Bowl players not pan out for them just because they couldn't learn the offense. So let's, you know, this guy's had 12 games to learn his offense. Let's see if he can make an impact. But not only just him, you got to stop their running game. Last I checked, they ran for like 150 on you last time you played 2 weeks ago. You got to stop their slot receivers. Last I checked, they got two pretty good ones. You got to stop their spacers in terms of Philip Dorsett and Brandon Cooks. Last I checked, you didn't do that last time they played. And then there's that guy, Tom Brady.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's he might be a little good, just a little.
He's playing, right? He's playing?
Yeah.
He's playing Monday night?
Okay. I think you have a chance if Tom Brady doesn't play. Mm. And even then, I think Patriots would probably be favored.
Sure. Is it about time that primetime pride starts to kick in with this Dolphins team? I mean, it's I can't believe we've got another primetime game here already. There are seasons in which the Dolphins haven't played any.
Yeah.
And now we're in four in about 6 weeks. So what, is it finally going to kick in? Are they going to play well under the bright lights?
I don't think it matters to them. It makes any difference whether they're playing on primetime or not. They know the entire nation is watching. They know they've embarrassed themselves the last three times the entire nation. Was it three or four?
It was three.
Yeah. The last three times the entire nation is watching. I don't think anything's going to stop them from embarrassing themselves. It didn't stop them the last time they embarrassed themselves.
Or the time before that.
Or the time before that. Yeah.
Next question, last one, comes from Adrian. I'm interested in your analysis of Stephon Anthony's play this week since he saw his first significant action on defense.
What I love about what the Dolphins are doing is they're playing Stephon Anthony in an area that's not exactly his area of strength. They're having him in pass coverage, and I think he's growing and progressing and getting better. The problem that I've always had with him, even coming out of draft, because he's a Clemson kid, it triggers, you know, yeah. You're supposed to trigger like,
yeah.
It just,
right, just
it's a little slow. And, you know, the only way to improve that is to put him on the field more, give him more opportunities. So I'm glad that they're doing that. It kind of gives them an understanding of where they are, whether they can move on from Lawrence Phillips, because ideally Lawrence Timmons, because ideally he is a replacement for Lawrence Timmons. But, you know, I don't have a problem with Timmons. I don't know what everybody's talking about or seeing or you know, people are holding a grudge because he disappeared on team. Like, nobody even knows what the disappearance was for.
All right, so any chance? You giving them some chance on Monday night? None at all, huh?
None Zero? At all. 28-14. Yeah, you know what? Let me put that up to 17. 28-17. Dolphins have played well at home in Hard Rock Stadium. There's a drastic difference between the Dolphins at home and the Dolphins on the road. It's drastic. So I'm going to put it at 28-17.
All right. I'm going to take it a little bit closer. I think this is going to be a fun one.
Okay.
Really, I think if the Dolphins can find a way to stop the Patriots' run, I do think that not having Gronk back there is going to make that Patriots' offense a lot less explosive. Those running backs are tough, though. Deion Lewis, Rex Burkhead, they keep on. I mean,
He
scored like five touchdowns the first couple weeks, and he hasn't played in the last 3 weeks. So I'm going to take 23-20, a Patriots win, but it's worth watching till the end. Just like this show. Thank you for watching X's and Omar presented by Gulfstream Park. If you've been watching us live, you can send us your questions. We will answer them on X's and Omar Overtime coming up right now. Thanks for watching.